Okay, Zohar Kli Meresh Hagag. So yesterday we learned that the Ketzais learns that Tosis and the Rosh are arguing. If Zohar takes is any different. And that that's the understanding of Tzais, that there's a machlokes of Zarechetz, if you say Basa Meikara as Linan. Rav Shimon, and not only Rav Shimon, but many together with Rav Shimon, the Sodik Dula Shmuel says the same thing. Rav Shimon says Misfaras Atmai, and Rav Maisha, they all say that this din of Basa Meikara as Linan, Zarechetz, is only if you, that Tosis Chilek is only if it did not end up breaking it. If you throw a chaitz and you end up breaking the chaitz ends up breaking, then if Zara chaitz and the chaitz ends up breaking, then what's the din? Then everybody holds that Basa Meikara is with them. Everybody holds that when you shot the chaitz, it's a broken chaitz and there's no machlokes. Tosis in the Rosh. When is there a machlekes Tosis in the Rosh? When does Tosis say his chilek? Tosis says his chilek where it didn't end up breaking. The Azara Chetz, and someone else broke it first. So there, Tosis says that the breaker, the second person who broke it is Chayiv, and the Zayrik is Potter. That's the explanation of Tosis. Now, Rav Shimon says, "Akul lefizeh," the Rosh is not arguing on Tosis, because let's remember, why is the Tosis raya that the Rosh is arguing? Because the Rosh asked the kasha, and he didn't answer. Well, he didn't answer Tosis chilek. Let's see what was the Rosh's kasha. The Rosh's kasha was a stira between two gemaras. One gemara is our gemara. That Agamara says Darsakli Valeshav Rasa. Vinizgagula Mokemacha Vinishbar. So Agamara says when you kick a keli you go basa meikara. And the Gemara in Testament Beis by Nitza, Vishusarab, Halach Vishusayachid, there we say that Jachayev for being Mazik Vishusayachid. So why don't we go with Basa Meikara there? So that was the Rosh's kasha. So why didn't the Rosh answer? The Yitesam and Beis is different because the cases are Chaitz. Elamai, the Rosh argues with Tosis. That's what we learned yesterday. Sakhtar of Shimon. Now it's not a kasha. Because the Rosh is going on a case of Zarach Chaitz where it did break it. Where the animal shot out a rock from Rishus HaRabim and it went into Rishus HaYochid and it did break it. When it did break it, everyone holds Yigo Basa Meikara. By Zorach Chetz and it was successful in breaking it, everyone holds Yigo Basa Meikara. So Mimele, the Rosh's Kasha is a good Kasha. Even like Tosfos, it's a good Kasha. Because Tosfos is masking by Zorach Chetz and you're successful in breaking it, that Zorach Chetz also go Basa Meikara. So Mimela, Zabr of Shimon, the Rosh doesn't argue with Tosfos. The Rosh and Tosfos don't argue. The Rosh's Kasha is a good Kasha like Tosfos too. Because Tosfos is only talking by Zarah Chetz and someone else broke it. But by Zarah Chetz and you did break it, everyone holds you go Basa Meikara. So therefore the Rosh stims also with Tosfos. And Mimela there's no machlokes. This is the halacha of Rav Shimon, not like the Ketzos. Now, the Ravid, the Ramban rather, at the end of the Perek, asks the Kasha. We'll get to Ramban Shita separately. We'll learn the Ramban's Kasha, we'll deal with the Kasha. Later we'll deal, the Ramban has a whole different mahalach in the whole sugya. The Ramban asks the Kasha, on this Gemara, which a number of the Mepharshim struggle to answer. Rabban asks that when you throw a keli off a roof, as that keli is on the way down, it's already worth nothing. It's already worthless. The Gemara has a similar thing in Bava Metzia, by Zuta Shoyam. The Gemara says in Bava Metzia Chav Beis that if a flood comes and it washes away a person's possessions, as the person is watching his possessions getting washed down into the ocean, those possessions are hefker. Those possessions are worthless because it's gone. That's called Zutei Shoyam. It's already flowing away in Zutei Shoyam, in the flooding of the waters. What? What? With the what? One second. We'll see if that answers it. One second. So that, we call that Aveda Midas. Aveda Midas is also an expression that means that something is gone. A person knows something is gone. It's worthless. So the kasha is, by Zarek Kli Meroish Hagag, on the way down, it has no worth. Even if on the way down it's whole, and even if on the way down you could still use it. I have to talk about whether that's a good argument. But on the way down, it has zero value. Nobody would pay for it. So on the way down, it's going to be destroyed. So what does it have to do with Basa Meikara, Aslina? Maybe you don't go Basa Meikara. You don't consider it Mona Tvira Tavar. When you want to figure out who the Mazik is, maybe you go Basa Lebesayt. Aye, why? If Ruvain throws it off a roof and Shimon breaks it, Shimon is Potter. You know why? Shimon broke something that has no value. Shimon broke something that's worthless. It's a Tishayam. So if you're going to say Zutei Shoyam is because the owner is Miyayish, if you're going to say Zutei Shoyam is because the owner is Miyayish, you could say here it means that the owner didn't see it. He didn't know to be Miyayish. What? It's true. However, all the Rishayim, except for the Rambam, all the Rishayim say Zutei Shoyam is even if the owner doesn't see it. We learn out of a pasuk that it's a yish even if the owner doesn't know about it. Zutei Shoyam doesn't actually require yish violent. If something is avuda mimenu mikol adam, if something is totally lost mikol adam, then it's an automatic yish. It's the Torah makes it a yish. So according Bishlam, like the Rambam, that you need Yish Bailim, you could answer Agamar is talking that the Bailim didn't see it, and then it's good. However, light Rav Rishayim, like Rashi and Tosfos above Metziah, that Yish, you don't need Yish by Zutei Shoyam, Matzal Minayam, Matzal Minari, all these cases is Hari Elu Shalai. If the flood is flooding it out, and somehow somebody is able to get it, or it washes up on someone's property, it's his. Because Zutei Shoyam is Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam. So if it's Avuda Mimenu, so what's the whole sugya? When you throw something off the roof, it's gone. It's already gone. It's Avuda Mimenu Mikol Adam. So Frekta Ramban, what's the sugya of Basa Meikara, Zlina? It's nothing to do with Basa Meikara. You know why if I throw it off the roof and someone else breaks it, I'm potter? Because it's worthless. It's avuda mimenu, we call on them on the way down. This is the Ramban's kasha. As I said, the Ramban's shita we'll get to later. But this makes for some problems because of the ways that I used to answer this kasha. In the Grach al Hashas, Reb Chaim answers that our Gemara is talking that it's Efshel HaTzilai, not like I said yesterday, that if you threw it off the roof, it's Efshel HaTzilai. I don't really understand. If I throw it off the roof and it's Efshel HaTzilai, what's going on? How do you understand the whole sugya? How's it Mona Tvira Tavar? If I throw something off a roof, then it's possible to save it. How could you say the Gemara like that? Rav Chaim says it's talking Epshalon Tzilai. So the person threw her off the roof. The question is, it should be like Zutah Shel Yam. So it says, no, we're talking that it's still possible to save the Chayfetz. So even though yesterday Yanki was saying that I was talking Epshalon Tzilai, and I told him I can't understand that, so now I see Rav Chaim says it, I still have a very hard time understanding. If I throw something off a roof, and it's possible for me to save it. Now, if it's possible for the thrower to save it, you think it's like even the thrower could save it? So I'll ask you, why does anybody agree with him? If I throw something off the roof and have a long string attached, let's say it's a 30-foot building, and I have a 35-foot string, so I throw it off the roof. If I don't do anything, it's going to hit the ground and break. But I have a rope attached to it. If I want at any time, I can just give it a 5-foot tug and I'll save it. It's on the way down, and someone else breaks it. Do you think it's mona tefiyah tavar that the guy who breaks it is pater and I'm chayiv? Does that make any sense? I threw something off a roof. I can still save it. I have to just give it a pull and I can save it. Right now I didn't save it. I threw it off. I can still save it. I didn't save it, but it's on the way down. I still can make up my mind. And as it's passing the second floor window, someone breaks it with a bat. So we're going to say he's potter and I'm chayiv, because I'm the one who threw it off the roof. I'm on a tefiyah tavar. So in that case, Mr. Everyone agrees with me. No? In that case, so you lost all the
silver.
He's not sure. I'll decide later. See what mood he's in. Then he's chayiv for throwing it off the roof. Does anybody think that makes sense? Huh? Is it a mistaver? Huh? I throw it off the roof. I still could save it. So if someone else breaks it, I should be chayiv.
Well, he did make it that you can't change your mind and choose to save it. You chose to destroy it, and the action that you did will destroy it. He just stopped you from being able to change your mind back, doesn't he?
But did I destroy it already?
Well, if you wouldn't have done anything different, it would have been destroyed, yeah. He just stopped you from making that ability to rescue it.
He just stopped me from being able to rescue it, but I already broke it. Is that called I already broke it? If I throw it in a way that I could decide later? Is that true? If I throw it in a way I could decide later, Rav Chaim seems to be learning that way. That I broke it, I just could save it. So he took away the option of saving. Huh? That's a way to understand. I think Rav Chaim doesn't mean that the person who threw it could save it. The person who threw it could save it, so he didn't break it. The person who threw it could save it, so what did he do? He didn't break it. No?
He threw it off the roof.
He threw it off the roof. If a guy's driving a car down Coney Island Avenue, he's going 35 miles an hour and there's a red light. So halfway down the block, he starts pushing the brakes. So in the first half of the block, he's breaking the car. Because now he gave gas, he's going to go through a red light, he's going to have an accident. Just, so the car, it's a mona tefira, hit down the block. Just when he hits the brakes, now he was made, decided to be matzolid. Anybody in the right mind look at it that way? As you tell me, here it's different. Here it's a normal thing to do. It's not normal that if I throw a keli off the roof before it hits the ground, I put it back.
It's not normal.
I have to decide.
If you're sitting there thinking, should I save it, shouldn't I save it? If you're holding, or if you're already holding on to the string, and the question is, if you can let go or not, then maybe it's not going to do. Because right now, it's maybe saving it. Something like a fossil.
I don't see it. Maisa Hezek is a Maisa Hezek in one of two ways. Either Taka breaks something, then it's a Maisa Hezek. Or, if you want to make something a Maisa Hezek when it didn't break it, I would think it has to be irreversible. I think it has to be, because you want to call me a Mazik even though I didn't break it. Maisa, I didn't break it. Someone else broke it. So you're being mechayiv me for my act of throwing it off the roof. A little hard to understand. So I don't know. I'll tell you the truth. Reb Chaim is not the only one. There's a Nesivus. It's in Reish Samach Aleph. It's a Katan Aleph. Nesivus is going on the concept of Aveda Midas. He brings, for example, a case that we had quite a bit earlier in the year. A child died. The parents are very tzebrachim. And they're throwing begadim on the child, on the body. Halacha is that if the begadim, they decorate the child, they become asabano, they have a din of tachrishin. And they become asabano. So it's a mitzvah latziloi. The Brisa says that you should try to save the kalim before they throw their kalim, it lands on the mat. You should take it away from them, that they shouldn't destroy it. So the Nesivus says, why, when they're throwing kalim on the mace to decorate the mace, why isn't that Aveda Midas? And if anybody say grabs it before it lands on the mace, it should be Ariel Shalom. It's like Zutah Shalyam. They threw it on the mace, they're making it Asabana. You're getting it first. So why isn't that called Yematzlit Min Hefker? So the Nesivus answers that since it's Efshalatziloi, it's not Zutishalyam. Since when they're throwing it on the mace, it's a case where people could grab it before it lands on the mace. So that's not Zutishalyam, which makes sense. And then he says, V'chein, in our Gemara, when a person threw it off the roof, why isn't it Aveda Midas? Because it's Efshalatziloi. So the Nesivus says the same words that our Gemara is talking Efshalatziloi. So you have a second Makar like the Reb Chaim. And the third is Reb Shimon on Simcha Dalet, who also says it's talking about Efshalat Tzilai. So you have three Makairis, Reb Chaim, Nesivus, and Reb Shimon, who say the Sugi is talking about Efshalat Tzilai. And to me, it doesn't make sense. That if it's Efshalat Tzilai, why the thrower should be Chayiv? At least Reb Shimon says a little different. Reb Shimon says it's Efshalat Hatzel Ba'ifin Rachik. Reb Shimon says that it's talking that you could save it if you try very hard in an abnormal way. He calls it shaloi kederach hateva, not a normal way. If you try extremely hard, it's shayach to save it. So that's the case. The person threw it off the roof. So Reb Shimon will be my device dies. If I have a rope attached and I have to give it a tug, that's not called monotvira. But in a case where I throw it off the roof and with a tremendous tirchak, and somehow, you know, someone can make a diving catch and then save it. So that's that. Boif and Rachaik, that's the case of the Gemara. So it's not Avuda Mekolot. Alright, so it's a Mahalach. It's not my favorite Mahalach in the Gemara. I have a hard time understanding the whole monotheism of it. But that's one Mahalach in the Gemara. You have Reb Chaim and Reb Shimon and the Nesivus. We'll say it, so it's a Mahalach of the Gemara. But I don't think it's a satisfying Mahalach. The Briskerov in the Grizala Rambam, the end of Hilchas Gezeila, brings that his father asked the Kasha. He doesn't bring Reb Chaim's Teretz. Apparently he disagrees with Reb Chaim on his Teretz. The Briskerov has a separate Teretz and how to answer the kasha. Why? When the person throws it off the roof, the Ramban's kasha, it's worth nothing on the way down. So when he throws it off the roof, it should be worth nothing. So Memela, the one who breaks it, is Potter. Not because of Basa Meikara, just because it's worth nothing on the way down. So the Briskerov has a second Mahalach, and he says the following. What's the pshat in Zutei Shalyam, that if I own something and it's been carried away by floodwaters, or if an Ari has it, I own something and the Ari has it in its mouth, so it's gone. And no way I'm going to get it. It's not mine anymore. Why is it not? Why Avuda Mimenu Mekol Adam is not mine? The Briskerov learns it's not because it's not worth anything. It's not because he can't sell it. There's a Hafkoz Bailus on something that is so far from your control that it's already Zuta Shoyam or in the mouth of an Ari, it is a hafkah of the ownership. You can't own something that's avuda mikol adam. So the Brisker Rav learns that Zuta Shoyam is a hafkah of the whole ownership, the whole bailus of a chefetz. Memela, not the Brisker Rav. When do you say Zuta Shoyam? Only when something is totally gone. The flood is carrying it away, a lion is carrying it away, it's gone. You're not going to have a mashahu from it anymore. However, in our case, if someone's throwing a keli off a roof, lamaisa, it's going to break on the floor. The broken pieces still, if they have value, still belong to the owner. The owner still could to go down and pick up the broken pieces. He has bailus on the shivrei keli. If there's even a mashu of bailus that remains, even a pruta of bailus that remains, then it's not zuta shiyam. Because the lumdis of zuta shiyam is not that it's not worth money in the marketplace. The lumdis of zuta shiyam is that you can't own something that you have no shaykhis to anymore. If I have a pruta's worth of shaykhis to it, then that's not zuta shoyam. It just doesn't fit the rule of zuta shoyam. Now it's true. If the owner is there and he's miyayish, if the owner is there and he's miyayish, Befrat, Rabba holds in Maruba, Rabba was the Madiyama who said that Yush Kani. So if the owner is there and he's miyayish, it's taka gone. But to call it zuta shoyam has to be that you have zero money worth of ownership still in it. And in Mela, it's not a case of Zuta Shoyam. As I state in Brisker Rav. Where? In Kuftesvav.
Yeah. Here, that if it's going to be, if it's a barrel broken, you could make it take two from the broken barrel. Most of the Emor has to cash for another case with his rock, because he could pay the money back. And the Gemara says that there is the Yachal Hatzai, so the Gemara says there is the Hatzai, the Yachal Hatzai, therefore you can't do it, but the Yachal you could do it.
So that's the Brisker Rav's Chilik.
That's the exact same thing. By the case of the Gemara, my first broken barrel, by the mission, was a parish to get lost. So that's the Rashi's explained. Because the Yachal Hatzai, what I'm asking is,
there it could be different, because there it's actually Lahatzai the whole thing, like the Yachal.
There's no, you can't be Lahatzai the whole thing. By the case of the money, it could be
In a case where it's eshelahatzel the whole thing ayidat chak, you have a gemara, and that gemara is similar to Rav Shimon, who's mechalik, and you could be masa ayidat chak. That gemara is taka similar to Rav Shimon. However, the Brisker Rav is saying that you can have one prut of hana from it, the whole thing is not zuta shoyam, that you don't see from that gemara. That would be a makar for a chilek if you could be masay de'at chak, or you can't be masay de'at chak.
Even if
it's masay de'at chak,
you see this takamah.
You see if you can be masay, so maybe that's not if you can masay the whole thing like de'at chak. The Brisker Rav's chiddush that you can masay pruta. Okay, I grabbed that Gemara I wanted to talk about also. I forgot all about it. Right, one second. First, this is the Brisker Rav's Teretz. Now,
Zuta Shoyam is still intact.
Zuta Shoyam, it's intact, but it's floating out into the Atlantic Ocean. You're Miyayish, whether you like it or not. Because it's gone. The flood is carrying it out. You're standing at the beach and you see the waves carrying your rowboat out, you lost your boat, it's not tied up, and it's out in the ocean. You're never going to get it back. So you see it sailing off in the distance. That's Zuta Shoyam.
How does it compare to the Zavon?
It does compare, because here on the way down, it's still intact. It's on the way down. It's still intact, but it's gone. But then Rippus not learning Rippus Chaim that you could save it. You can't save it. So it's on the way down. It's gone. It's the same thing as something you watch going out into the ocean. And something you watch falling down from the fifth floor of a building, and it's going to break. On the way down, it's intact, but it doesn't have a very long prognosis. It's not very good for it. You're never going to get it back.
So, someone's going to find it in a different beach.
And still it's Utishaya. And still it's Utishaya. I'm still a Sais mine. So Koshken here, with on the way down, Zichah should be Utishaya. No one's going to ever find it. So the Brisker Rav is Mechalech, that if it's going to break and be worth something, it's different. Now, I don't have any problem with the Brisker Rav's Londis. I just don't think it's Emes in the Paiskim. I suspect, if you look at the Paiskim, we'll talk about our Gemara, if you throw something off a roof, I don't think the Mechalech between if the broken pieces are worth a pruta, the broken pieces are not worth a pruta. The Brisker Rav is saying, this Teretz, is that our Gemara is talking, with the broken pieces later, are going to be worth a Shavu Pruta.
It's going to be worth a Shavu Pruta, right? Like the same way we find that Shavu Pruta?
If it's going to be worth...
It's going to be worth a Shavu Pruta afterwards, the monetary is only up to...
But the one who broke it didn't stop it from being worth that Pruta. It's still going to be worth it. He broke it.
So it's still worth a Pruta?
It's still going to be worth a Pruta. The Chaz says, it's still worth a Pruta. So the first person did a monetary. He broke it, knocked it down to a Pruta. And the second person, why is he potter? Not because of Avuda Mikol Adam, but because of Basa Meikar.
So I'm going to say that Shabbos is Avuda Mikol Adam.
So that's the Brisker Rav's Chiddush, that Avuda Mikol Adam doesn't go on the market value. The Chiddush that the Torah says that even if you're not Miyayish, if it's Avuda Mikol Adam, it's not yours. That Nechud of Chiddush is only if there's Afkav Bailas Lagamri. That's the way he understands the end of Gemara, because we really been passing Yish Leimidas Le'avi Yish. If he doesn't know about it, there's no Yish. So it has to work with Avkos Al Bosom. The second one, we're pottering from everything because of Bosom Eikara. The Kasha was. How do you know he's potter because of Bosom Eikara? Maybe he's potter because of, because it's Avudim Mikol Adam. Teretz is about Avuda Mikol Adam. It's not Avuda Mikol Adam, because there's no Afkos Bailus, and then the one who breaks it would be chayav on everything. Because once it's not Afkos Bailus, the owner wasn't Mi'ayish, the one who broke it should be chayav. No, because the Brisker Rav doesn't hold of this idea that it's only worth a pruta. If the owner's not Mi'ayish, it's a complete keli. The Brisker Rav holds the chiddush of Zutei Shoyam is not the way we learned that it has no value, and now we would say it's worth a pruta. He says, no, the keli is a full keli. The Torah of Zutei Shoyam is not because of Shavius. The Torah of Zutei Shoyam is because there's a hafkah of ownership from something you have no shaychus to. But maybe the whole parsha of Zutei Shoyam doesn't apply. And what is applied? It applies like any aveda. Let's say you lose an aveda on the subway system. And you're not aware of it. So if you knew it, you'd be miayish. Right now it's worth zero to you. But that's Yishlam Yidas. That's Lehavi Yish. Right? Yishlam Yidas Lehavi Yish. There's a Parsha Yishlam Yidas Lehavi Yish. The Brisker Rav says that the Parsha of Yishlam Yidas Lehavi Yish still applies. The only time we say Sutra Shalyam is when it's Avuda Mimenu Mekol Adam, where something now is totally, there's no bailus on it now. It's sailing off in the Sutra Shalyam or it's in the mouth of an Ari. It's not Shayach bailus. There it applies. Something that Shayach Bailus, that depends on Dinei Yish. If the owner is Miayish, you're right. On the way down, he's Miayish already, it's gone. Our Gemara is talking, the owner was not. He didn't see it go down. He wasn't Miayish. Okay. So in other words, the emes is, because Basa Meikar has lean on the breaker is Chayiv. The Rabban's Kasha was, maybe we go Basa Lebesayif. And he has a Ptor because of Zutei Shoyam. We're saying Zutei Shoyam doesn't apply. Meimla, you'd be chayiv al tzbosel of a saif. That's just the din of his pata. That's the Gemara's raya. Tzbosel meikar hazman. So these are the first two mahalchim. The mahalch of Reb Chaim, which, as I said, in Svara I find difficult. Mahalch of the Brisker Rav, which in Svara is good, but I don't think the paiskim them on his mahalch. There's a third mahalch of Dimrei Maisha and the Gedulei Shmuel. They both say it, and to me, it's a very mistabedik shat. Dimri Moshe says that the rule of Zutei Shoyam only applies where there's no mazik, where nature destroyed it, or wild animals, Ari, destroyed it. Anytime there's a mazik, the rule of Zutei Shoyam doesn't apply. Because I know that I may not be able to get the chafetz back, But I know that I could be Tevei the Shavius from the Mazik. L'mosha. He gives a perfect mosha. If a wild lion comes and picks up one of my sheep and carries it off, the Gemara calls that Zutah Shoyam. Machfil min Ari is a case of Zutah Shoyam. So if a lion comes and it carries off one of my sheep, that sheep is now ownerless and it's Hefker. If somehow somebody is going to take a gun and shoot the Ari and save the lion, it's his. Machfil min Ari is Ari El Shalom. In Cain, Frektim Remaisha, we had in the first parak the case that if somebody owns an Ari, if somebody owns an Ari, right, a Zayv, a Doiv, a Ari, and the Bardalis, and whatever, the Nober, and the Nachash, if someone owns an Ari, and his Ari goes and takes someone's sheep, carries it off, and he eats it, is the owner of the Ari Chayiv? He said, yes. The Bala Ari is Chayiv. We had a question. What the Gedarim of the Chayiv is, but it's Chayiv Nezek Sholem right away. And Ari is a Mu'ud Mi'ad. 1 minute. The minute the Ari took the sheep, it's Zutah Shoyam, it's Hefker. It's Zutah Shoyam, the owner is Bakar Chach Mi'ayish. So later when the Ari eats the sheep, why is he Chayiv for tearing up the sheep? When the Ari is standing over the sheep, a second before he tears him up, it's already like Zutah Shoyam. It should already be Hefker. Why is the Baal Ari Chayiv? So therefore, it's not Avudah Mimen. He knows he's an owner. He knows he can be Teveya. It's not the Gufa, the sheep, is lost from him. But the Shavius of the sheep is not lost. He can still go and get it. So Zuck the Imre Maisha, in such a case, there's no Zutah Shoyam. Because if your Ari is eating my sheep, I know I can be send you a bill and I'll get my money back. So that's not lost. The goof of the Ari I lost, but the shavius of the Ari I still have. Any time you have someone to go to send a bill, every time that's the case, that is not a case of Zutah Shoyam. That's not Zutah Shoyam. And in that case, there's a... It's not Avudah Menu Mekal Adam, and the whole rule of Zutah Shoyam doesn't apply, and therefore, if someone throws something off the roof, and someone else breaks it, since the owner could go to the one who threw it off the roof and be Teveya, it's not a case of Zutah Shoyam, it's not Hefker. So this is the Imre Moshe's Chiddush, which to me is a very mistavetic thing. Comes out. I remember somewhere above in Mitzia, maybe someone here will remember better than me, we talked about the following case. You remember we had a case where there's a little old lady walking down the street and a big shaggy comes and steals her pocketbook. So the yeshiva bachur comes by, he sees it, and he hits the shaggits over the head, and he takes the pocketbook back. And he turns to the lady, she says, thank you, says, you're welcome, but the pocketbook is mine. No? And Matzel, is it Yeshayam? You had no chance to get this back. Matzel was saying, in Argaius, what's the case we had? So we asked, then we declared, is he right? Remember we talked about last year, I think. Is he right that he could keep it? Huh? We talked about Zutah Shoyam or we talked about Yish? What?
You keep a Yish from a Geneva.
You keep a...
From
a Geneva,
you keep
something from someone's behind. Well, if you look at this parak, let's say, Bozeva Ochloi Lacha Yish is Potter.
That's only one of the people that are down from someone else.
That's only...
Someone else stole it.
So that the Shagat stole it. You know, I took it from the Shagats.
He didn't know
it was stolen. It's only Bidiyavid there that he's part of?
I don't
know. That goes to Machon. So we were talking then of. I think we were talking then of Matam and Agaius. No? Yeah, I can't remember anything. So I understand why I didn't talk about it last year. It was a few years ago. We're clearing the Shaibel. I don't know, I think the Gemara above Metzia says Menagayus. Isn't that another case? Masal Menari? Also from the band of Rabbis? No?
Masal Menari is it?
Is it same Menagayus there? Just Menari? Okay, according to what Imre Moshe is saying, it's not Masal Menari. It's not a case of Tishayam. Because this lady knows that she could be Teveya the Ganiv. So it's not Tisha Yam. She can still get the Shadis. May not be likely she'll be successful, but in that case it's a Tisha Yam at least. In that case.
Only one person.
Who has to be one?
It has to be one Ganav. So it's the band of Ganavim, which I could say that the other one took it.
Okay. I mean, you want to answer the case of Gaia instead of Shemisha and Yimimisha. Okay. Alright. Al-Kaponim. This is the Imre Moshe's Chiddush, that as long as you can send someone a bill for it, the whole Shakla V'Tarya doesn't apply. Okay, so now we bid off a big piece today. We have Rabban's Kasha. So we have three Mahalchim of the Gemara. Reb Chaim's Mahalach, that's your Efshel HaHatzel. The Biskarov, that's Bechlal, not like Zut HaShayam. And the Imre Moshe, that's also not Zut HaShayam because of the fact that you can still bill someone for the Shavis. Now, we come to the most challenging part of the sugya, which is to understand Svaras Taisus. To understand Taisus' Svara. Taisus' Svara was that if you throw a keli off a roof, it's me'ikara manatvira tava. And the mishav, the one who breaks it, is potter. If you shoot a rock off the roof, and it's going to break a keli underneath, then someone breaks it as chayiv. So the challenging nakuda here in the Gemara is to understand what is the difference if you throw a keli off the roof or you throw a rock off the roof. This is what we were talking about yesterday. What's the difference if you throw a keli off the roof? It's considered manatvira. If you throw an arrow off the roof, then it's not considered manatvira. Now, in Svara, I was trying to understand. I have a hard time understanding. Because Basa Me'ikara is such a chiddush that I have a little bit of a hard time understanding the whole thing. If a man jumps off a roof, and he jumps off the roof before Shkia, and he lands after Shkia, and he dies, his yard side is when he jumped or when he landed? Huh? What's his yard side? Huh? No. I don't want to make him a rasha. He jumped. Let's say he fell. He fell off a roof. And it was Eif Shalat Siloi. So his yard side is when he jumped, his yard side is when he landed. As he's falling. He was wearing tzitzis on the way down. He says Shema on the way down. He's a chalive, right? So what's the pshat in Basa Meikara? You can't say manat for your tavar. It's not broken on the way down. It's whole, no? No. Somebody on Shabbos throws a keli down off a roof. Let's say Mekalkel Eschayiv, or Tzisid Rabbanon. He throws it off a roof and it lands on the ground after sunset, after Shkiva, after Tzeis. Eschayiv of Melech Shabbos? Stop that. It's a chena, no? Huh? Someone throws a keli off a roof when it's still Shabbos and it lands on the ground and breaks after Shabbos. So he's over Amalech HaShabbos? Can't be.
Huh?
We are carrying. Well, let's say it's all Rosh Hashanah. I want to be Mechayvim for breaking. Let's say Mechalkel's Rosh Hashanah. So he has an Aveira. If he threw it off the roof on Shabbos and lands, it's Mona Tefira on the way down. I don't think anybody says Chayvim. You think he's chayiv? Is that your thing? What? It's only a din in Nezek. See, once you say those words, you're telling me you're not going to figure out a svara because the svara it doesn't shtim everywhere. It only shtims here. What does that mean? You have to tell me a reason why Nezek should be different than killing. What? It's a Tekana Drabanan. If this is a Tekana Drabanan without a reason, then we are wasting our time arguing. This guy, Tosis, holds that way up his Svar. Tosis has Svar Pshutahi. Tosis is telling me that this is Svar, that by Nezek it's that way. So must be that the Chefetz is not broken on the way down. On the way down it's alive. It's fully alive. But the Mazik is Chayiv already on the way down. In other words, and Rav Shimon says these words, Rav Shimon talks about, he doesn't say yard site, but he talks about someone's thrown off. So on the way down he's not dead. And on his way down, somebody's Mekadesh's wife. She's Mekadesh's. He's not dead. He's almost dead. He's not dead. So Shimon says it can't be that Mona Tvira is literally that the Keli is broken. It can't be the Keli is broken. It must be a din in the Mazik. That the Mazik is a Mazik for when he threw it. When the Mazik threw the Keli over the edge, from that moment he's a Mazik. And when you throw a Chetz, you're not a Mazik from the moment you threw it. What's an afkamim? So what's the difference? When I shoot a chetz, I'm not a mazik. And when I throw a chetz off the roof, I'm already a mazik. That nekuda needs explanation, and you can try to explain it two ways. You can go with Reb Chaim, by Efshalat Tziloi, explain the difference. And you can go now with Reb Chaim, that's Efshalat Tziloi, and explain the difference. So I don't know, I spent time trying to think it through. And the only explanation that, and I'm surprised that nobody should speak out an explanation. You would think that there's so much Torah on this that someone would speak out a little bit of an explanation on this, on how this is working. This nekuda that Reb Shimon says that the thing is not broken, that I like very much. I grabbed it from that Gemara that you mentioned, I think is a raya. If I have time, I'll mention it. But the chetz is not broken. Even though he uses an expression, mana tvira tavar, doesn't mean the object is broken. It means the mazik is a mazik. The person is a mazik for when he throws it. But the object is not a broken object. Now, why is Zarach chetz different? From what I thought through, the only thing that to me makes sense is what someone said yesterday. Yesterday I didn't like it. So I don't know if because I'm stuck. But someone mentioned yesterday that when you throw a keli off the roof, you already make it not usable. So I said, what do you mean? Yeah, cases where it is usable. Okay, you make it much less usable. Put it that way. When you throw a keli off the roof, you already affect, as far as being a mazik, you're already affecting the keli. Keli is not usable. When you shoot an arrow at a keli, the moment you shoot the arrow, the keli is still usable. Right, if you're shooting out of the window, right now the window is still protecting the house. And whatever it does, keeps the rain out, keeps the bugs out. So right now it's still working. Until the arrow hits it, the keli is still fully functional. In my mind, that chilik I could hear. That when someone shoots an arrow at a keli, the keli is still functional 100%. So he can't be called a mazik from the time he shot the arrow. So there you go, bustle of the side. Someone else broke it, the other person is the mazik. Masha'enke, when I throw a keli off a roof, I'm a mazik as soon as I throw it off. Because now, the keli it doesn't function anymore. It functions much less. It's much less usable. Now, it doesn't break till it's battered. But you want to know when to call me a mazik. I'm a mazik from the time I threw it off. So here I can hear something of a chilek. Which is really the chiluk. What does everyone say? As soon as you ask them, what's the difference? You say, well, by the keli, you did something to the keli. By the chetz, you didn't touch the keli. The question is, what's the difference? I touched the keli. I didn't touch it. The question is, if my skin came in contact with the keli. So the question has to be that I'm already a mazik to the keli. So maybe that's the hesber. When I throw it on the way down, I'm already a mazik. Not a complete mazik till it lands. But I'm already a mazik on the way down. Maybe that's the hesber of the chiluk.
Depends on what's a ma'aseh hesber. Throwing something or throwing the ma'aseh hesber. Shooting the arrow is not a ma'aseh hesber. If there's something in the way, it'll get damaged.
Shooting the arrow is a ma'aseh hesber. It's my only ma'aseh. I didn't do any other ma'aseh.
The actual shooting of an arrow is not a ma'aseh hesber. If you want to consider him a ma'aseh right away, then he has to do.
You have to bear in mind that we're saying that everyone agrees with the Dvukah Yosef that if he shoots an arrow and then it breaks something, he's chayef from the time he shot the arrow.
Yeah, because it ends up being a ma'aseh hazeh, but inherently it's not a ma'aseh hazeh.
If it doesn't end up, if I shoot an arrow, it doesn't end up breaking it, so it had zero effect on the thing that broke. Good. If I throw something off a roof and it doesn't end up breaking for me,
so, someone else broke it.
So why is throwing the chayfetz more ma'aseh hezek than shooting the arrow? Is it like I'm saying? Because you make it not usable or no?
But you could shoot an arrow all day without breaking anything.
And if I threw something off
the roof all day without breaking,
if this guy with the bag keeps on being the one that breaks it, I'm never going to break anything.
You need something else to do.
But if I shoot the arrow, I also need something else. Because I'm shooting an arrow at a window that's right in front of me, I'm not going to miss. I still need someone else to break the window before my arrow hits it. I can shoot an arrow in a different direction. If I throw a chayfetz in a different direction too, with the air pillows.
Then it's going to break if you throw it in a different direction.
Well, if I throw it with air pillows, it's not going to break. If I shoot the arrow where there's no window, it's not going to break. If I shoot an arrow where there are windows, it will break.
One place is telling you, okay, one thing is telling you, it's not. It's being telling you another thing.
Both are telling. I'm shooting an arrow at a window. You're telling me if there's no window there, I can shoot arrows all day. Yeah, if there's no window. But now I'm shooting it at a window.
The thing that's being, that's the hazard. That's the daughter hazard that you're being telling. One thing is telling you something else. Telling you something else thing.
In one case, I need something to be matzalit. In one case,
lack of the being.
It's a little hard because when you shoot an arrow, you could shoot arrows somewhere else all day. Well, it doesn't have to be there. So I shoot the arrow at this one.
It's not
on
a ma'aseh hazeh. Shooting the arrow is not the ma'aseh hazeh. I mean, it'll end up being the ma'aseh hazeh, but the hazeh is not a ma'aseh hazeh.
I'd love to have a better hezra. I'm not happy that. Not, to me, it's not so clear. The bottom line, the nekuda of Taisis, there's a Gemara on Kuftes Vav, it was. Kuftes Vav in the days. And correct me if I say it wrong. The way I remember, the Gemara Kuftes Vav asked for stira between two dinim. One case is someone's carrying a barrel of wine, and the barrel of wine springs a leak. And he's in a place he doesn't have another barrel to save it with. It's all going to go onto the ground and get ruined. So what does he do? He's a quick-thinking fellow. So he says the wine in this barrel should be truma on all the wine in my silo, in my wine press. What does he gain? It should become truma, and now tough luck on the kayin, especially this man hazeh, truma goes libud anyway. So he made a truma, so at least he saved himself the money. So in that case, we say it does not work, right? It doesn't work. Because the wine is yahalach liyavud, there's a hole in the barrel, and it's a matzav where you can't save it. The havamina, you just can't save it, so it's not true. Then the Gemara is the second case. A person is going in the midbar, and robbers come and they want to take his money away. So right before the robbers take his money, he says that my sasheni in my house is podui on this money. And then the robbers take it away. So there we say, even though you shouldn't do such a thing, but it's chal. But here it is chal. So Gemara asks that the two cases are a stira one to the other. What's the difference if I have a barrel of wine and it starts to leak, and I say, Hari Zutruma, and we say it's not chal? And if I have money in my hand, and robbers come, and I say, Hari Zutruma, my Sisheini, that it is chal. So Gemara is the stira. What does that have to do with our Taisvis? L'chaira, you could answer like our Taisvis. No, the case of the robbers, there's nothing wrong with the money. It's like a chetz coming at the money. The robbers have their eyes on the money. The money is perfectly good money in my hand. It's like Zara Chetz. The Chetz didn't, the rob is going to take it the minute right now. The money is whole. In case the barrel of wine, It's like Zorak Kli. The barrel of wine is broken already. The barrel of wine is leaking already. Why does the Gemara is the stira between the two cases? What's the stira? It's Mamish Artosis is Chilik. In a case where the thing itself is damaged, the barrel of wine itself is damaged, so there it's already monetary tavar. The wine is already ruined. It's ruined from now. You can't separate truma. In a case where I have money, just the robber is coming, and the robbers come, they're going to take it away. That's like Zorach Chetz. There's nothing wrong inherently with the money. And this is our Sameas Kasha. That case is Mamish, our Tosis is Chilik. And the Gemara doesn't answer this Teretz. The Gemara is a different Teretz. Why doesn't that Gemara answer our Tosis is Chilik? That in one case, the thing itself is Hoylech Liyibut. And in one case, the money is not Hoylech Liyibut. It's just someone coming to get it. Elamai. It's a raya to the Yisai that was saying from Rav Shimon. That in a case where the chetz is shot at something and it's successful, this place is not mechalik. Tosfos agrees. There's no difference zorach chetz. If you throw a rock off the roof, you throw a kli off the roof. If the damage ends up happening, there's taka no difference. Tosfos never made such a chilik. Tosfos only made a chilik where the damage did not end up happening. Where you throw a chetz and someone else broke it first. That's where Tosfos says it's different. But where the damage ended up happening, there, Tosfos never said a chilik. What the Velt says b'shem Tosfos is not true. Tosfos never made that chilik. I think it's a very nice raya from that Gemara Kuf Tesvav. Victor Lishmuel brings it b'kitzer, and I think it's a beautiful raya. The way I understand, it's a beautiful raya. That's the insight. Certainly, we have to come away with from Tosfos. So we dealt yesterday with the Ketzais of Rav Shimon. Today with the Inyan of Avuda Mikol Adam, which is the second main Inyan over here. We're still at a little bit of a loss of a good Hesber, Geshmaka Hesber and Tosfos Chilik. At least I'm at a loss for it. I don't see Klar the Chilik. What we still have left is the Ramban Shita and the Sugya. The Ramban has a totally different Mahalach in the Sugya. The Ramban itself is a short Ramban. It takes 5 minutes to speak out. There is an Abnei Maluim. In Simen Kufay and Tess, I think Sivkot and Hay, in the Ktsai Sachayshin that they were made on Bava Kama, the first piece in Ketzer HaRegel, there's an Abnei Maluim, which when we learned Gittin, we learned Perek HaZayrik, we learned that Abnei Maluim. And of all over the years, I've learned many Ktsaisim and many Abnei Maluims. The one, which by Tchias HaMeisim, if they let me get anywhere close to the Baal HaKtsai Sachayshin Abnei Maluim, I don't know if I'll get near him. But I get near him, the one where I think Klar, that what he says, I have a good kasha on, that I don't think he can answer, Abiswara, is this one, Avnei Maluim. Kofay and Tess Hay. And you'll learn it, it's not so complicated. And maybe at the end of tomorrow I'll change my mind, but I think, I remember we went to Zayrik, the guys in Shir were masking, at least we didn't have a good teretz on that Avnei Maluim. That what he does is he uses our Ramban, really our Ramban, our whole sugya, to explain the Ramban in Gittin. So we'll do that in Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow. And then we have Yitzhak Hashem still next week. We have quite a bit of ground to cover since we spent a lot of time in this Gemara. Tomorrow, Thursday, is also a short shiur. We'll try to tie the loose ends here and to move on. I don't think we'll get to move on tomorrow, but for Sunday, to move on to the next Sunday.